The time is 10 o'clock. This is KBOO Portland. Next up, Puppet Radio right. Theater.
I think Ken can get his thing, and then we can download it.
How many times has this happened to you? You have a bass. You're trying to find an exciting new way to prepare it for dinner. You could scale the bass, remove the bass's tail, head and bones, and serve the fish as you would any other fish dinner. But why bother now that you can use Robco's amazing new kitchen tool, the Super Bassomatic 76? Yes, fish eaters, the days of troublesome scaling, cutting, and gutting are over. Because Super Bassomatic 76 is the tool that lets you use the whole bass with no fish waste without scaling, cutting, or gutting. Here's how it works. Catch a bass, remove the hook, and drop the bass, that's the whole bass, into the Super Bassomatic 76. Now adjust the control dial so that bass is blended just the way you like it. Yes, it's just that simple.
Terrific bass.
We've got fish here fast and easy and ready to pour. Bassomatic 76 comes with 10 interchangeable rotors, a 9-month guarantee, and a booklet, 1001 Ways to Harness Bass. Super Bassomatic 76 works great on sunfish, perch, sole, and other small aquatic creatures. Super Bassomatic 76, it's clean, simple, and after 5 or 10 fish, it gets to be quite a rush. Super Bassomatic 76, you'll never have to scale, cut, or gut again. Order again. That's Pier 25, New York, New York.
Testing, yellow.
Well, I mean, I guess the thing that we have to say right here is that this is very special behind
the scenes.
Take
it, I was yawning
scenes.
Over you.
Why are you yawning over me?
That's why I said start again.
Do I bore you?
Never.
Do I bore you, Hazel?
Never. Or still done.
This is a very special episode of Puppet Radio Theater because we've decided to look back over our vast, lengthy careers.
Has it been a month and a half already?
It's been more like 3.5 months, but it's felt more like 9.5 months.
It always felt to me.
Oh, that's cool.
So what we're doing today is we're answering some reader mail questions that we have. And a Mr. Leonard Scott writes in from Troutdale.
He writes in and he says, "Dear Floyd, Hazel, and Lucky, in order of puppet that I can understand the best."
What are some of your influences as radio comedy makers?
Well, I think, you know, before we get to that, we should maybe talk about the hands behind the puppet.
You mean the hands inside the puppet?
Yes. So I'll get started off. This is Hazel, and I'm Twilight. I perform Hazel. And Hazel is just a silly voice that I've done ever since I was a little girl, and it's actually the only puppet voice that I can do. So sadly, she's hard to understand, and I just have to practice.
What makes her a puppet voice?
That's an excellent question. It sounds like a puppet to me. Just as she sounds silly and like a Muppet. So, all right, so and Lucky or Floyd, what's the story behind your voices?
Well, this is Mahatma Jones, a.k.a. Seth. I do the voice of Lucky. And the reason I kind of talk like this, even though I am a genius, is because you guys, Hazel and Floyd, talk like little rabbit chipmunks. So I thought it would just be a good idea for someone to kind of balance you guys out, kind of like
kind of like a
Valium with two guys on methamphetamine, yeah. Basically to balance you out.
That should be our tagline. Like,
I've always felt that Lucky was actually the voice of reason among the troop.
You take that back.
No, it's true.
You take that back.
One of the things I love about Lucky is because you talk slower. At first, the listener might be like, oh, he's not as bright. But then as you listen to the episodes, he really is the smartest of them all. He has the tool bag. He has the wherewithal to talk Blind Willie into getting some coffee and to help get him a bus pass.
He's a nice puppet
Lucky
with a
actually,
sweaty hand inside of him.
Lucky actually is a Mensa member. Nobody knows that about him.
So what about Floyd over there?
Well, Floyd, there's not much to say about Floyd. He was born the son of a Belgian sheep herder and an unknown mystery woman. He traveled the first several years of his life looking for his parents, and he enjoys a freshly shaved scrotum on a spring mortem.
I thought we were trying to get real.
Robco,
Groucho, excuse me a minute. I have to make an announcement on the air. Step into the studio with me, will you?
All right. You notice everybody in radio wears wooden shoes?
Uncle Floyd was this seminal part of my life growing up. He was this guy who had a puppet show that the kids didn't get.
Out of New Jersey, East Coast.
New Jersey. And Floyd had a puppet called Oogie.
So I'm not going to worry about it. Happy New Year!
So I called my puppet Floyd.
And I'm just discovering Lucky is, I think, Scottish because he's got a kilt.
Yes.
For some reason, my puppet has a kilt. I don't know why.
Well,
it keeps his privates covered.
That could be.
When you've got a hand jammed up, you then nothing is private.
But it looks like he has privates.
Right. And it was very important to me when I made the puppets to do each of their eyes and their teeth different because I wanted to give each of them individual characteristics.
So Lucky, both of my parents left home before I was born, and
lucky for them.
And that's how I got Lucky. And so I was adopted by a group of tree-dwelling Dadaists who forced me to perform on the streets of New York. I would do Samuel Beckett soliloquies whilst dancing to free-form jazz, and that was to raise food for money and alcohol, and needless to say, they died within a week of starvation, totally sober.
That was a tear-jerking story. How about you,
Hazel?
That
was an after-school special.
Those are my googly eyes googling.
What's your damage, Hazel?
Let's see. Good Heather's reference there. Hazel was born and raised on a hippie commune in the deep south. And
sounds delicious.
It sounds delicious. But eventually, are we doing that? Yeah, eventually the FBI raided it for leftist sympathies because it was the south after all. And so she hitchhiked her way across country, hobo style, and moved to Portland where she, you know, worked at one of the strip clubs. Actually was friends with Courtney Love. Little known fact. Yeah, that inspired the Nirvana sketch.
Courtney Love actually has no friends.
Well, you know, not anymore.
Used you, Hazel.
She did, and she did. So the lace skirt is a homage to her stripper past.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was the third most touching story that I've heard today.
Excellent.
Where did it touch you? Show us on the puppet where it touched you.
I'm against it.
All right, moving on.
So I think the first thing that we're going to go way back.
We're going to talk about some of our influences in the world of comedy.
I think that we can all agree that if it weren't for Lenny Bruce, he died for our sins.
Exactly.
None of us would be able to do
it. And we're still sinning. And he must be the oldest because he's in black and white. He lived before they invented color.
This is true. So without further ado, Lenny Bruce.
Two. Preposition. To his preposition, come is a verb. To his preposition, come is a verb. To his preposition, come is a verb. The verb intransitive. To come. To come. I've heard these two words my whole adult life, and as a kid when I thought I was sleeping. To come. To come. It's been like a big drum solo. Did you come? Did you come good? 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 Rest with our teeth. I come better with you, sweetheart, than anyone in the whole goddamn world. Everybody came so good. Ernie came so good because I love you. Everybody came so good. I come better with you, sweetheart. And anyone in the whole world, everything came was so good, so good. But don't come in me, don't come in me. Don't come in me, don't come in me, don't come in me. Don't come in me, don't come in me. I can't come. 'Cause you don't love me, that's why I can't come. I love
Bobby, I just can't come. That's my hang-up. I can't come and I'm loaded, all right? Because you don't love me. Just what the hell is the matter with you? What has that got to do with loving you? I just can't come, that's all. Now, if anyone in this room or the world finds those two words decadent, obscene, immoral, amoral, asexual, the words to come really make you feel uncomfortable. If you think I'm rank for saying it to you, the ear of the beholder gets rank from listening to it, you probably can't come.
I'm opposed to it. On general principles, I'm opposed to it.
Not only was he in black and white, but he was in mono, so you know he's old.
Right. Yeah.
So that got him in a whole lot of trouble, and he doesn't even curse in it. Everyone talks about Lenny Bruce like he's the dirty mouth, foul mouth comic. He was nowhere near as foul mouth as Red Fox or Buddy Hackett, but he attacked the status quo. He took on what was going on, not just political, but sociological. He took on the powers that be, and they did not like him. People didn't talk. I mean, to is a preposition, come is a verb, and that got him in all kinds of trouble and arrested and in jail.
You know, it's a good thing that you didn't say that in the puppet voice, because that would have taken about 20 minutes.
To is a supposition. Beyond the Fringe was Dudley Moore and Peter Cook of Bedazzled fame. And Dudley Moore, of course, was Arthur. And they were all part of the Goon Show, and including some of the members of Monty Python, who also wrote for the Goon Show. And they all split up later on into both Beyond the Fringe and Monty Python.
But how can these guys aren't, you know, they're not like an inspiration to me, because I don't even know who they are.
I don't either.
They do. They are an inspiration to you, even though you don't know who they are.
They're an inspiration to people who are inspirations to me. So they're a second. Is that like secondhand smoke? They're secondhand inspiration.
Graham Chapman and John Cleese both wrote for these people, they are inspirational to you, whether you know it or not.
How will it be, this end of which you have spoken, Brother Emery?
Aye, how will it be?
Well, it will be as 'twere a mighty rending in the sky, you see, and the mountains will sink and the valleys will rise, and great shall be the tumult thereof, I should think.
Will the veil of the temple be rent in twain?
Well, the veil of the temple's always rather dodgy. But it should be rent asunder about 2 minutes before we see the sign of the manifest flying whatnots up in the sky.
And will there be a mighty wind, then?
Certainly there will be a mighty wind, if the word of God is anything to go by.
And will this wind be so mighty as to lay low the mountains of the earth?
I can't hear a blind word you're saying. You're speaking too softly for the human ear, which is what I'm equipped with, so you'll have to speak a bit louder, I think. No better, is it? I ask you to speak louder, you speak softer. A strange reaction from a follower. Or perhaps I'm very old-fashioned. Perhaps I'm very old-fashioned, expecting you to speak louder.
Yes, you are.
All day to the end of the world.
Will this wind?
We've heard that bit. We've all heard will this wind. We've heard will this wind enough, thank you. Don't want to hear will this wind again. Will this wind what is what we want to know. What will this wind? Don't say will this wind again. That'd be a most tedious experience. What will this wind?
Will this wind be so mighty?
Be so mighty, yes.
As to lay low. The mountains.
The what?
Earth,
yes. Will this wind be so mighty as to lay low the mountains of the earth? No. It will not be quite as mighty as that. That is why we've come up on the mountain, you stupid nit, to be safe. Up here we shall be safe. Safe as houses.
But what happened to the houses?
Oh, well, naturally, the houses will all be swept away and consumed by the fire what is dancing on the firmament. Seven lights, I don't
know. All right, then, when will it be, this end of which you have spoken?
When?
Oh, when? In about 30 seconds' time, according to the very ancient pyramidic scrolls and the Ingersoll watch.
Suppose we better compose ourselves.
Yes, then. Prepare for the end of the world. 15 seconds.
Have you got the picnic basket?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Now is the end. Perish the world.
It was GMT, wasn't it? Well, it's not quite the conflagration we'd been banking on. Never mind, lads. Same time tomorrow. We must get a winner one day.
Now, of course, Beyond the Fringe is British, as you might have been able to tell
I
from their
that.
Accents.
Yes.
And so some of the jokes are of Britishisms, mm-hmm. as I like to call it. So you might have to Google an Ingersoll watch and a GMT and anything you might not understand.
Or not.
Or not.
Or not.
You just trust us.
Just trust us.
It was funny. It was funny.
You weren't laughing.
I like British humor. Which
you didn't like that. It's too old for you.
And then I didn't say that.
It was before your time,
well, it was
Hazel.
Before my time. That's
before
true.
Your time.
I'm a huge Monty Python fan. I discovered them in high school, actually, back when there was tapes. It was the Monty Python. It was a tape, and it was something. It was like a white cover, and there were slashes and like guts hanging out. Whatever that album was, I don't know. There was the Lumberjack song was on it, of course. And that was the album. So I had listened to their tape first before I realized they were actually movies. And then, of course,
I discovered Monty Python on an archaeological dig in New Mexico. Yes, I was looking for dinosaurs, and instead I discovered Monty Python.
Dinosaurs weren't real.
I discovered Monty Python when they first came on TV, because I'm freaking old. And they were on Sunday nights on PBS at like 7:30 or 8 o'clock. I was 8 or 9 years old, and I would sit in front of this little black and white TV watching this absurd British comedy and cracking up, and my parents would look at me and wonder what I was watching and why I found it funny. And it never left me. Definitely, without Monty Python, I would have been a very different person. I'd probably be a very successful doctor with no sense of humor whatsoever.
So the next thing that we're going to be playing is we're moving chronologically, but since this still is only an hour show, we're going to speed it up a little bit. We're going to jump ahead into the future, and what we're going to be recording.
What's on the telly? I mean the radio.
We're going to This is actually a live performance, Monty Python, The Four Yorkshire Men.
Which is based on The Liars Club, which is a very famous comic exercise that they just do the best version of.
All right, so we are going to be listening to this, and then we'll be back to with some post-sketch analysis.
Anal cyst.
Very possible.
Aye. All right. Good glass of Chateau de Chasseler, eh, Josiah?
Aye, you're right there, Obadiah.
Aye. Who would have thought 30 years ago we'd all be sitting here drinking Chateau de Chasseler, eh?
Aye. Them days we're glad to have the price of a cup of tea.
Aye, a cup of cold tea. Huh?
Without milk or sugar.
Or tea.
In a cracked cup and all.
Oh, we never used to have a cup. We used to have to drink out of a roll-up newspaper.
The best we could manage was to suck on a piece of damp cloth.
But you know, we were happy in those days, although we were poor.
Because we were poor.
Aye.
My old dad used to say to me, money doesn't bring you happiness, son.
He was right.
Aye.
I was happier then and I had nothing. We used to live in this tiny old tumble-down house with great big holes in the roof.
House? You were lucky to live in a house. We used to live in one room, all 26 of us, no furniture, half the floor was missing. We're all huddled together in one corner for fear of falling.
You were lucky to have a room. We used to have to live in the corridor.
Oh, we used to dream of living in a corridor. Would have been a palace to us. We used to live in an old water tank on a rubbish tip. We got woke up every morning by having a load of rotting fish dumped all over us. House?
Well, when I say house, it was just a hole in the ground covered by a sheet of tarpaulin. But it was a house to us. We were evicted from our hole in the ground. We had to go and live in a lake. You were lucky to have a lake. There were 150 of us living in a shoebox in the middle of the road.
Cardboard box?
Aye.
You were lucky. We lived for 3 months in a rolled-up newspaper in a septic tank. You used to have to get up every morning at 6 o'clock and clean the newspaper, go to work down the mill, 14 hours a day, week in, week out, for 6 months a week. And when we got home, our dad would thrash us to sleep with his belt.
Luxury. We used to have to get out of the lake at 3 o'clock in the morning, clean the lake, eat a handful of hot gravel, work 20 hours a day at mill for tuppence a month, come home and Dad would beat us around the head and neck with a broken bottle if we were lucky.
Well, of course, we had it tough. We used to have to get up out of the shoebox in the middle of the night and lick the road clean with our tongues. We had to eat half a handful of freezing cold gravel, work 24 hours a day at mill for 4 months every 6 years, and when we got home, our dad would slash us in two with a bread knife.
Right. I had to get up in the morning at 10 o'clock at night, half an hour before I went to bed, eat a lump of coal poison, work 29 hours a day down mill and pay mill owner for permission to come to work, and when we got home, our dad would kill us and dance about in our grave singing hallelujah.
Oh. Are you trying to tell the young people of today that? And they won't believe you. Oh,
no, what? They won't.
And we're back.
We're back.
We're back. We're back.
So, yes, that's called The Liars Club, and that's Monty Python's rendition of it.
Yes. My favorite line is the sucking on the damp cloth.
Sucking on the damp cloth. Hey, you were lucky to have a damp cloth.
Moving on.
Next sketch.
We are going to move America bound for, quite frankly, I'm going to just put this out there, the bums that we wound up kicking off the air and taking their slot. Because quite frankly, I mean,
they were getting old and
I think they were getting old, literally.
I think one of them got real old and died.
Yeah, but I think it's safe to say that without Fireside Theater, I would not be half as twisted as I am today, even with the same amount of LSD.
And Fireside Theater are Americans that just don't get their due anymore, but they were once the kings of the airwaves.
So we've got two that we can play here. I'm going to start with one. We may go into the other.
You're not going to play both simultaneously?
We could do that. I think that it'll be twice as funny. That is the thing about Fireside Theater. If you were to play them simultaneously,
it would sound like a bit.
every time that I listen to Fireside Theater, I still hear things I didn't.
Twice as funny half the time.
So we're going to start off with 40 Great Unchained Melodies, and we might move into the Chinchilla
Unclaimed Melodies.
40 Great Unclaimed. What did I say?
Unchained. If only you could read English as well as you wrote Chinese.
I know. If only. All right. So here we are.
Yes, you all recognize the saloon song from The Floating Prince by Stein. Now, here's the lilting revenge duet from Il Vino Confuso.
Don tarde morde et en porco! Chi dite? Elete! Oh, il morte!
Isn't that beautiful? It's by a great Italian composer. Yes, he's dead now, but lives on in stereo hi-fi. On this 12-inch record album of 40 great unclaimed melodies. Yes, friends, if you were to go into a record store and ask for them, they would think you were crazy. Hello, I'm Don Giovanni. And I'm proud to speak for the Musical Heritage Surplus Club of Hong Kong. Wouldn't you like to raise the level of your home? Bring your family closer together around the hi-fi, listening to such immoral pieces of art like B. Happy Days, the Fountain? Or the Duke's Duet from Il Schizofreno? Yes, friends, if you act now, we'll include at absolutely no cost to anyone this collection of 40 familiar sound effects. Who can forget? And remember? And well, friends, they're all yours. Yes, siree, friends, and if you act in time, we'll throw in this three-record boxed bonanza of timeless big band hymns. Titles like In a Persian Melon, My Spanish Suitcase, The Happy Plunderer, Waltz for Three People, and the Hawaiian Hallucination Song. A cultural landslide to fill your home entertainment center. Right now, to this address.
Right, a Chinese surplus music deal, Hollywood Box 415, California.
For months before my son was born, I used to yell from night till morn, whatever it is, I'm against it. And I've kept yelling since I first commenced it. I'm against it.
Wow, we suck in comparison.
Yes, but we suck so good. Toy.
So what do we got next?
Yeah, what's next on the slab?
Let's do the Dr. Whiplash.
And now, a pause in the busy day's activity. As the doctor leaves his little rectumery, walks out the marble path covered with Aggies, cat's eyes from his youth, down the long path of life, past the elm grove of superstition, and toward the true way. Yes, it's Dr. Whiplash. He's come again to the font of perpetual resurrection to answer some of your questions.
Come in, Doctor.
Dave, what's the first question?
Well, I have a letter here from a gentleman in Flotsam's Mistake, New Jersey. And actually, he's been kind enough to send this letter in on a tape cassette for you, Doctor, so we'll hear his voice and you can use his voice to help you analyze the problem.
It's a novel idea. Leave it to the Japs.
Dr. Whiplash, I am a Japanese businessman. Why have I written before? So I still suffering from the same complaint. I only suffer in the office during the day. At night, I eat out and feel better. And although I can't sleep, it's because of a part of my noise. What should I do? Hideo Gump.
Dear Hideo, your symptoms are shared by people other than your race. To wit, many executives complain to me as suffering from flushing, blushing, running of the mouth, high stool, seat cramps, delayed borgorygmus, and shortness of pants. They also, like you, feel relieved of these symptoms away from the orifice. Can anything be done? Yes, and it should be done now. They, and you, Hideo, are suffering from farmer's lung. Usually confined to barns and sponge warehouses, it is attributable to a hybrid fungus, which lodges in the massive air conditioning systems that supply oxygen of sorts to the big buildings that your daddy works in. Although the same bug can be found in home furnaces, it's often rendered ineffectual due to the fact that poor people can't afford air conditioning and are forced to run their furnaces to heat their homes during the summer. This fries the fungus. We doctor people use the word Microsporifera funi in referring to this little pest, and literally it can be translated as funny spores, long known as the cause of Theodore's disease, running sores in athletes' feet. Recently, this microscopic troublemaker has also been blamed in the nasty disease labeled Hartman's palsy, formerly Strassman syndrome, the only cure for which is death. I'll answer any questions, dear friends. Just write me if you still have the strength. Until next week, this is Dr. Whiplash. I'm out for lunch.
Are we back?
See, I love the look on Twilight's face when she's She's listening to it as if she's listening to, you know, some like Latin mass or something. What? You had this very serious. So you're trying to understand.
I understood
what he was saying. That was the first time I heard that sketch.
Yes.
Yes.
But not the last. I plan to play it day and night until you get it.
Fun time at Casa Josembro.
Oh, yes.
Casa and that's that, they're the kind of stuff you can listen to over and over again, and every time you just hear something that you missed the last time.
I heard, what was that? Where was it? It was not a rainbow gathering. It was like one of those pagan gatherings back east.
Hippie.
Ivan Stang
hippie,
was there.
Hippie mud puddle gathering?
Ivan Stang was there, and he
performed. Church of Subgenius?
Of Subgenius.
J.R. Bob Dobbs, the living slack. His Church of the Subgenius.
Yeah, it was him doing The Adventures of Nick Danger, Third Eye, with some other people.
The whole thing?
Yes.
Mm.
It was a hippie mud puddle gathering. You know, we had like
was,
6 days.
Was anybody listening and paying
yeah,
attention?
A lot of people.
No TV, lots of drugs. You had to do something.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
Well, not to get too personal here, but, you know, Twilight and I actually met the night of... When did we meet, Twilight?
The night of a Doug Stanhope concert in
That's
Portland
right.
that I went to.
I'm wondering if it's a little too gross.
Well, it might be.
You know, it starts off with the whole ass-licking, and then at the very end, it's a lecture on economic theory.
It's only 4 minutes. Let's
The whole thing's 4 minutes?
Let's just go.
Oh, okay.
All right,
all right,
like go.
7 minutes. Okay.
Roll the tape!
Roll the tape!
Roll the tape!
If you want to feel bad for someone in a downturned economy, I'll give you someone. Prostitutes. Because a prostitute doesn't have that same worst-case scenario B plan that we all enjoy. No matter how shitty things are going for you on the job. Danny, if they lay off any more people, I'm gonna be out on the street sucking dicks for a living. I got nothing else. I'm serious. Hooker doesn't have that same safety net. Hooker's already out there sucking dicks. There is a hooker chugging a cock, a fucking sour milk smelling cock behind a dumpster right now, and she's staring up at your office building thinking, they lay off any more people. More people gonna be out here sucking dicks. It's gonna be a buyer's market. More people out here sucking dicks. I'm gonna have to start doing anal just to compete in the marketplace. Woman my age shouldn't have to do anal. I ain't built right for it no more. I gotta do exercises in the morning. I do squat thrust, trying to strengthen up my shit pussy in case this whole thing go bust. Debt ceiling, I'm doing ass kegels every morning. You can't afford to get all loosey-goosey down in your ass pussy. Not in this economy. You get baggy in your shit pussy, you'd be tonguing ass for a living. That ain't proper work for no human being. You tongue ass, you gotta get up early, sugar. Set your alarm clock. Get down to construction site before the boys in the orange vest show up. Wait for them. Take all the toilet paper out the Andy Gum. Wait for them to take that gravelly good morning and Starbucks shit. You hear them scratching around on the fiberglass. You go, there ain't no toilet paper in there, Sugar Plum, but I clean you out real good for $25. That ain't no way for a human being to make a living. Call that getting the blood diamond. Get in there, get the blood diamond. Where Amnesty International now? You do anal, you gotta watch your diet. Can't eat no more gummy bears, no more licorice whips, can't swallow your gum. No more canned cheese, gotta eat Triscuit wafer. Get fiber in your diet. You gotta keep regular, princess. You're gonna have regular clientele. You're gonna be regular in your ass pussy. You can't get baggy in your shit pussy in a bad economy. This whole motherfucking economy built on a house and car. First of all, you gotta get this shit, get that Federal Reserve back on a gold standard. What the fuck is that? You got government printing off fiat currency. You're building a whole motherfucking house and car. It's a charade fiat currency. The consumer gotta understand that the currency only have as much value as the consumer have faith in the currency. You gotta back that shit up with precious metal, buckface. Fuck Keynesian economic philosophy. That's what I'm saying to you, Angela. Fuck Keynes and his philosophy. Dig up that dead Jew, Milton Friedman. He's a Nobel Peace Prize winner, motherfucking economic major. You dig up that dead Jew, ask Milton Friedman, dead Jew corpse, what he think about the current economic crisis, and he will tell you, you better strengthen up your shit pussy, baby. Because this whole economy's going down. Sometimes I carry a little baby carrot in my asshole when I walk the street, and I just suckle on that motherfucker.
Well, what's so great about that joke is it starts off so crude, and then it turns into something political, and also that he often tells sex worker jokes from a very intelligent standpoint. Fun fact, I played this bit to a friend who is an escort, and she laughed and laughed.
She's
a
Ford escort?
That's right.
Yes, she's a Ford escort. And she thought this joke was very funny.
I think that we should do a little plug for Mr. Stanhope. When is he coming to town?
He will be here in June. One of the shows was already sold out.
I like the way that you said that, Twilight.
Really?
Maybe why
really?
Don't you just air our dirty laundry in public, Twilight?
Someone didn't believe me when I said he was going to sell out.
Yeah, somebody. But who would that somebody be?
That would be Floyd. And anyway, luckily...
It wasn't my fault.
Luckily for Floyd, he decided to put up a second show,
yeah,
I believe, the 24th.
It takes me hours to make any sort of transaction online.
Yeah, with no fingers.
You could have done it.
And I don't remember where he's playing, but of course, DougStanhope.com. You get his tickets. And I have seen him a number of times, and I just find him very funny.
Come on down to the second show of the Doug Stanhope Show and meet two of the three Puppet Radio Theater performers.
First show. Second show.
Buy us dinner.
Your best dinner, please.
Buy us something, please.
We're talking character.
I'm against it.
So we're talking about comedy now.
Yes.
To me, the best comedy works on more than one level.
Yes.
That's why I don't like shit jokes. I don't like slapstick per se.
Yeah, I've never liked slapstick.
But I like things that make you laugh, then think, then laugh again, and then even better, like Firesign Theater, laugh again and then think again and then that's it works on more than one level.
That's why I like Doug Stanhope.
Doug Stanhope is in there. George Carlin.
That's why I don't like the Three Stooges.
I've never liked the Three Stooges.
I like that one thing where the guy hits the guy and then the other guy gets hit.
Watch this. A fist.
This is confusing.
People growing up, people thought I was gay because I didn't like the Three Stooges, although I wanted to have sex with all three of them.
Yeah.
So maybe that had something to do with it on second thought. But, however, I was much more of a Marx Brothers fan because they were intelligent verbal humor as opposed to just hitting each other with sticks.
Well, speaking of Marx Brothers, are we going to play Marx Brothers?
Who are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Who are you?
I'm fine, too, but you can't come in unless you give the password.
Oh, what is the password?
Oh, no, you gotta tell me. Hey, I tell what I do, I give you three guesses. It's the name of a fish.
Is it Mary?
Ha ha! That's an old fish.
She isn't. Well, she drinks like one. Let me see. Is it Sturgeon?
Hey, you're crazy. Sturgeon, he's a doctor who cuts you open when you're sick. Now, I give you one more chance.
I got it. Haddock.
That's funny. I got a headache, too.
What do you take for a headache?
Well, now, sometimes I take aspirin, or sometimes I take a calomel.
Say, I'd walk a mile for a calomel.
You mean chocolate calomel. I like that, too, but you know, guess it. Hey, what's the matter? You don't understand English? You can't come in here unless you say swordfish. Now, I'll give you one more guess.
Swordfish. I think I got it. Is it swordfish?
That's it. You guess it.
Pretty good, eh?
Fine. You guess it, or...
What do you want?
I want to come in.
What's the password?
Oh, you're no fool of me. Swordfish.
No, I got tired of that. I changed it.
What's the password now?
See, I forgot it. I better come outside with you.
All right, are we back on?
We are back
are
on.
Are we live?
We're all on now. It's
Gandiscens solum nunc gubernaculi.
I love words. I thank you for hearing my words. I want to tell you something about words that I think is important. I love, as I say, they're my work, they're my play, they're my passion. Words are all we have, really. We have thoughts, but thoughts are fluid, you know. And then we assign a word to a thought, and we're stuck with that word for that thought. So be careful with words. I like to think, yeah, the same words, you know, that hurt can heal. It's a matter of how you pick them. There are some people that aren't into all the words. There are some people that would have you not use certain words. Yeah, there are 400,000 words in the English language, and there are 7 of them you can't say on television. What a ratio that is. 399,993 to 7. They must really be bad. They'd have to be outrageous to be separated from a group that large. All of you over here, you 7. Bad words. That's what they told us they were, remember?
That's a bad word.
No bad words. Bad thoughts, bad intentions, and words. You know the 7, don't you, that you can't say on television? Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits, huh? Those are the heavy 7. Those are the ones that'll infect your soul, curve your spine, and keep the country from winning the war. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. Wow. And tits doesn't even belong on the list, you know? Yeah. It's such a friendly sounding word. Sounds like a nickname, right? Hey, tits, come here, man. Tits, meet toots, toots, tits, tits, toots, man. Sounds like a snack, doesn't it, huh? Yes, yes, I know, it is, right, a snack. But I don't mean your sexist snack. I mean new Nabisco tits. The new cheese tits. And corn tits and pizza tits and sesame tits, onion tits, tater tits. Bet you can't eat just one. Yeah. That's true, I usually switch off. But I mean, that word does not belong on the list. Actually, none of the words belong on the list, but you can understand why some of them are there. I mean, I'm not completely insensitive to people's feelings. You know, I can dig why some of those words got on the list. Like cocksucker and motherfucker, those are... Those are heavyweight words, you know. Oh, there's a lot going on there, man. Besides the literal translation and the emotional feeling, I mean, they're just busy words. There's a lot of syllables to contend with. And those K's, those are aggressive sounds. They jump out at you, man. Cocksucker, motherfucker, cocksucker. Like an assault on you, you know? So I can dig that. Now, we mentioned shit earlier, of course, and 2 of the other 4-letter Anglo-Saxon words are piss and cunt, which go together, of course, but forget that. Little accidental humor I throw there. Piss and cunt. The reason that piss and cunt are on the list is that a long time ago, certain ladies said, those are the 2 I'm not going to say. I don't mind fucking shit, but P and C are out. P and C are out. Which led to such stupid sentences as, okay, you fuckers, I'm going to tinkle now. And of course, the word fuck. The word fuck, I don't really, well, here's some more accidental humor. I don't really want to get into that now. Because I think it takes too long. But I do mean that. I mean, I think the word fuck is a very important word. It's the beginning of life, and yet it's a word we use to hurt one another quite often. And people much wiser than I have said, I'd rather have my son watch a film with 2 people making love than two people trying to kill one another. And I, of course, can agree. It's a great sentiment. I wish I knew who said it first, and I agree with that. But I'd like to take it a step further. I'd like to substitute the word fuck for the word kill in all those movie cliches we grew up with, right?
Okay, Sheriff, we're gonna fuck you now. But we're gonna fuck you slow.
So maybe next year I'll have a whole fucking rap on that word. I hope so. There are two-way words. Those are the seven you can never say on television. Under any circumstances, you just cannot say them. Ever, 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 not even clinically. You cannot weave them in on the panel with Doc and Ed and Johnny. I mean, it's just impossible. Forget those seven. They're out. But there are some two-way words, those double-meaning words. Remember the ones you giggled at in sixth grade? And the cock crowed three times.
Hey, the cock crowed three times. Hey, it's in the Bible.
There are some two-way words, like it's okay for Kurt Gowdy to say, Roberto Clemente has two balls on him. But he can't say, I think he hurt his balls on that play, Tony, don't you? He's holding them. He must have hurt them, by God. And the other two-way word that goes with that one is prick. It's okay if it happens to your finger. Yes, you can prick your finger, but don't finger your prick. No, no.
He doesn't smoke. No, but he stepped out.
He stepped out.
He's not gone.
Anyway, so yeah, that was, you know, I don't really feel like talking in the puppet voice. I think that we should just carry through with this show the way that we came in, we'll go out, which is basically breaking the third wall.
Break the third wall.
It's the fourth wall?
Fifth wall.
We're like a glory hole through the third wall.
That should be our tagline. That's lovely.
All right. Maybe for the next show. So yeah, George Carlin, obviously, seven words you can't say on television. The question is it still relevant today now that we don't really have the three networks that George Carlin had in his day? And the idea of television is even different.
Well, I would still say yes, having, you know, gone through the legal training class here. It's still relevant.
It's still relevant, of course. And for example, some of the words that he just said, he can say that because it's part of his act. But we as the DJs should not say that.
Well, it's also interesting, too. I like his point about words have power. He actually addresses that in many of his bits. The power of words.
The power of words.
Yes, and the meanings.
Yeah. So George Carlin is, again, without Lenny Bruce, there would be no George Carlin. Perhaps, you know, without George Carlin, there would be no Bill Hicks.
Without Bill Hicks, there wouldn't be a Doug Stanhope. Although he hates being compared to him, but well, I see the connection.
Who hates being compared to who?
Doug Stanhope, because so many people would compare him to Bill Hicks and expect him to be Bill Hicks since Hicks sadly passed at an early age.
Yeah.
Pancreatic cancer.
Yes.
But there's a lot of funny, very biting Bill Hicks bits, but I particularly like It's Just a Ride because it's funny and yet deep and spiritual. And since he was so just crazy and sometimes so biting on stage, when he just had a moment like that, that's so beautiful. That's nice.
I'm familiar with It's Just a Ride.
Yes.
Let's save that for, that'll be the outro to the show. We're going to go
Excellent.
Out with that. I'm going to play one more sketch comedy bit. This is something that I listened to when I was in high school. It's by a band that I think, not a band, but a comedy group called The Frantics. They're a little bit hit and miss, I think. I think this is a very funny one, especially for what we're aspiring to do because of their use of sound effects. So this one is called Boot to the Head by The Frantics.
Boot to the Head!
Approach, students. Close the circle at the feet of the master. You have come to me asking that I be your guide along the path of Tai Quan Leap. But be warned, to learn its ways, you must learn the ways of your own soul. Let us meditate upon this wisdom now. So, who disturbs our meditation as a pebble disturbs the stillness of the pond?
Me.
Ed Gruberman.
Yeah, no disrespect or nothing, but, like, how long is this gonna take?
Taekwon Leap is not a path to a door, but a road leading forever towards the horizon.
So, like, what, an hour or so?
No, we have not even begun upon the path. Ed Gruberman, you must learn patience.
Yeah, patience. How long will that take?
Time has no meaning. To a true student, a year is as a day.
A year? I want to beat people up right now. I got the pajamas. Ha, hoo, ya, hmm.
Beat people up?
Yeah, just show me all those nifty moves so I can start crashing bozos. That's all I came here for.
The only use of Taekwon Leap is self-defense. Do you know who said that? Ki Lo Ni, the great teacher.
Yeah? Well, the best defense is a good offense. You know who said that? Mel, the cook on Alice.
No, Taekwon Leap is the wine of purity, not the vinegar of hostility. Meditate upon this truth with us. Oh.
Listen, shrimp. All this fag talk is starting to piss me off. Now, are you going to show me some fancy moves, or am I going to start wiping the walls with you?
Ed Gruberman, you fail to grasp Taekwon Leap. Approach me that you might see.
All right, finally some action.
Observe closely, class. Boot to the head.
Ow, you bullied me in the head!
You are lucky, Ed Gruberman. Few novices experience so much of Taekwon Leap so soon. Now we continue.
Hey, I wasn't ready. Come and give me that old shorty, huh? Come on, are you chicken?
Boot to the head. Boot to the head.
Mind if I just lie down here for a minute?
Now, class, we shall return
master,
to our... It is wrong to tip the vessel of knowledge, student.
Many apologies, master, but I feel Ed Gruberman is not wholly wrong.
What do you mean?
I want to boot some head, too.
Have you learned nothing from the lesson of Ed Gruberman?
Yes, master. I have learned two things. First, that anger is a weapon only to one's opponent.
Very good.
And secondly, get in the first shot. Boot to the head.
You missed.
Yeah. Well,
you two shall be honored to learn a lesson.
You don't have to, you know.
Boot to the head.
I gotta be gone.
Can anyone tell us what lesson has been learned here?
Yes, master. Not a single one of us could defeat you.
You gain wisdom, child.
So we'll have to gang up on you. Get him!
Boot to the head. And now, class, let us rejoin the mind to the body and gaze into the heart of the candle in meditation. Very good, class.
So what did you think about that?
I think that works, yeah.
The sound effects?
Oh, I thought you meant the show. Yeah, the sound effects are great.
Well, yeah, we already know what we think about the show. It was effective. An effective use of sound effects. What? What are you laughing at?
The sound effect that was silent.
Yes, the silent sound effect. And so the last thing that we have is Bill Hicks.
Yes, it's just a ride.
It's just a ride.
You never see positive drug stories on the news, do you? Isn't that weird? Since most of the experiences I've had on drugs were real fucking positive. Who are these morons they're finding? That's what I want to know. I used to want to call the news. Come over to our house. Watch Tommy. He's a pig. Film him. He's been doing that for hours. He's killing us. You getting all that? You know what I mean? Always that same LSD story. You've all seen it.
Young man on acid thought he could fly, jumped out of a building. What a tragedy.
What a dick. Fuck him. He's an idiot. If he thought he could fly, why didn't he take off on the ground first? Check it out.
You don't see ducks lined up to catch elevators to fly south. They fly from the ground, you moron. Quit ruining for everybody. He's a moron. He's dead. Good. We lost a moron. Fucking celebrate. Wow, I just felt the world get lighter. We lost a moron. Put on the Hammer album. I'm ready to dance. We lost a moron. I don't mean to sound cold or cruel or vicious, but I am, so that's the way it comes out. Professional help is being sought. How about a positive LSD story? Wouldn't that be newsworthy just once, to base your decision on information rather than scare tactics and superstitions and lies? Just once. I think it would be newsworthy. Today, a young man on acid realized that all matter is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration, that we are all one consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. There is no such thing as death. Life is only a dream, and we're the imagination of ourselves. Here's Tom with the weather. You've been fantastic, and I hope you enjoyed it. There is a point. Is there a point to all this? Let's find a point. Is there a point to my act? I would say there is. I have to. The world is like a ride at an amusement park. And when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud. And it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride. And we kill those people. Shut him up. We have a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up. Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account and my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we always kill those good guys who try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok? But it doesn't matter, because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace. Thank you very much. You've been great. I hope you enjoyed it. London, you're fantastic. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Anyway, that's it for this week. Puppet Radio Theater on 97 FM KBOO, Portland, Oregon.
Hooray! Hooray! Until next month.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the Creative Music Guild's 3rd Annual Improvisation Summit of Portland.
This year's Improvisation Summit brings together creative and adventurous musicians, dancers, and improvisers for a weekend of diverse and unique performances. Featured artists include Tim Byrne, Bad Luck, Scott Kutchell, The Rich Halley Quartet, Ken Ollis and Senses Sharpened, Michael Sterling, Doug Terrio, Matt Carlson, John Gross, and many more. The third annual Improvisation Summit takes place June 6th and 7th at Sandbox Studios, located at 420 Northeast 9th in Portland. Additionally, the Creative Music Guild will screen the film Reach of Resonance on June 5th at the Portland Art Museum's Witzel Auditorium. For more information and tickets, go to creativemusicguild.org.
Proud to co-sponsor Tryon Life Community Farms Bloom Festival on Sunday, June 8th from 2 until 10 p.m. Bloom Festival is filled with live music, activities, local organic food, and performances at the TLC Farm next to the Tryon Creek State Forest, featuring live music by Soul Nectar, Selkies and Cedars, The Dirty Dandelions, Serotone, DJ Carola Mariachi, and many others. There'll be special entertainment by Clown Snot Bombs, performing in the circus act Spaghetti Western. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Again, that's Sunday, June 8th, from 2 until 10 p.m. at the Tryon Life Community Farm.
You realize that this is the elevator of relaxation.
Just let me go by myself.
Work.
I know.
Okay.
No, I just think you put yourself under a lot of pressure.